good day, and welcome to The Englishman Speaks, the next instalment. So today I shall be chatting very briefly on climate change, vaccines, and technology and writing, mainly to do with the education area. So on to climate change. What has been happening? Well, you may have heard about this young lady from Europe, talking at the UN about climate change. And is there climate change? This is the question everyone's going on, because there's two schools of thought, one that there is and it's man-made, and the other that there isn't, or if there is, it's natural and not man-made. So the question is, how much of an effect can man have on climate? Well, I've had a look at some of the information that is out there. I've done a bit of research on it. I will state from the beginning, I am not a climatologist. I'm not a scientist in that area. It's not my speciality. But being an engineer, I do look at the evidence and weigh up the evidence and sniff out any false evidences, and I have a look at the methodology of the science as well, because I think that is extremely important. As in a future episode when I shall be talking about diet, and how evidence there has had an effect. But back to climate change. So NASA has been accused of changing data. The temperatures that they have for various parts of the world from decades ago. And they say it's to bring it into alignment with today, and and to take into account the positioning of it and the equipment and so on, and to make it more accurate. The problem with that is it seems to skew it in such a way as to show that there is a temperature rise, which seems to go against what is other evidences around the world of what the temperature is or should have been at that time. So there seems to be a little bit of a conflict going on. The other aspect of it is that the modelling that the IPCC scientists use, in that modelling, they stipulate that CO2 is a greenhouse gas, and therefore all the modelling is based on CO2 being a greenhouse gas. Well, some scientists actually say that CO2 is not a greenhouse gas, and therefore the modelling is wrong. So there's another conflict there. The other aspect of CO2 is the more CO2 there is, the more vegetation there should be. And if there's more vegetation, then that absorbs CO2, because vegetation loves CO2, which would then decrease it and keep it all in equilibrium. And then they say, well, we're burning the Amazon. The Amazon's on fire and we're destroying all our rainforests and such like. And yes, that will reduce the absorption, but in other areas it will grow even quicker. We're not turning into a desert planet just yet. So what is the score with climate change? Is man having a major effect? Well, my personal opinion is I don't think it is. I think the planet itself has its own cycles and cycles within cycles. Even when you look at the flooding that happened a few years ago in Queensland, in Australia, there was a very bright journalist who went and asked the local indigenous population about the flooding and how often it occurred. And there they said, well, yep, this is a natural occurrence that regularly happens every 200 years, or every 100 years, or 150 years, or whatever it was. There was a time span in between. But they said it regularly happened. It wasn't a once-off event that is now going to become regular, which seemed to be a very strange way of putting things. The other aspect, when you look at it, is back in the 1980s, when all of this started and came to prominence. The scientists there said in 1984, 586, that islands would be underwater. There would be major flooding and such like. But there'll be a permanence about all of this, because the ice caps would melt and produce a lot more water into the seas, and therefore the seas would rise, and there'd be untold flooding. But, you know, flooding like the sea would rise, so that it would flood and stay flooded. The islands would disappear, and this sort of thing. And we're now 20 years on beyond what they said would be disaster, and nothing like that has happened. Nothing. You know, there are no major islands disappeared because of rising sea. So some of the scaremongering, I think that they've overdone it, if you like, overplayed the hand, because there is no evidence for what they said would happen. So how do we move forward? Well, I, like a lot of people, like to have a clean house. And I'd like my house to be in a clean planet. And I think instead of going around this climate change stuff and carbon pricing, which big businesses want carbon pricing, and it makes me wonder why, because normally carbon pricing would reduce their bottom line because they'd have to pay for it. But it seems that with carbon pricing, they can trade it and make money out of it. And money at the cost of who? The general worker, the general bod, Mr. Joe Bloggs. So I'm skeptical of the carbon pricing. But I do think we need to look after this planet better and not pollute it as much. And I think if we go down the clean planet side of things rather than climate change, then everyone would be happy. And I know that there is a push for this. There's too much plastic in the oceans. There's too much plastic in our fish that we're eating. Microplastic is getting everywhere and becoming a real pain. And I think if we clean that up and clean up the pollution that's going into the air, not necessarily because of climate change, but just because we'd like clean air to breathe. And so would our pets, and so would our children, and things like that. And just be more responsible about what we have, I think we'd be in a better place in a few years' time. So there you have it, my opinion. Clean up the planet, forget climate change. That'll sort itself out, especially if we clean up the planet. Boom, kill two stones in one. You know, one of the problems I have with climate change is we must do something, but no one says what. No one says what. But to clean up the planet, we all know what we need to do, and that's pick up the rubbish and dispose of it responsibly. So that's the thing to do, clean up the planet. On to vaccines. So vaccines are an interesting one, because everyone says, oh, we all need vaccines to help us. Well, I was listening to a doctor the other day, earlier, on YouTube, and she's done some research into vaccines. And the question was, do vaccines make us healthier? And the answer to that is no, because there's nothing in a vaccine that is nutritious, so it can't make us better. Are vaccines safe? Well, I don't think anyone can answer that question to 100% degree. Are they relatively safe? Well, people have died from vaccines, so no, in that respect. Do vaccines work? Well, there's big debate over that. The principle behind it is that it introduces into the body something similar to what is out there, for the body to then build up an immunity to it. So when it does strike, it isn't as bad as if you didn't have the protection. So it's sort of like you're ahead of the game. And there's a debate as to whether vaccines actually are effective in doing that. So a lot of the major big research that people pump out saying that vaccines are effective, etc., etc. Look at this graph. It just shows that once the vaccine was introduced, that the disease rate dropped. Well, when you actually look at the particular disease and the vaccine for it and the graph for that, there appears to be very little difference. The disease rate was on the decline. Take tetanus or even smallpox. It was on the decline anyway, and even after everyone's been inoculated and vaccinated, there is a spike in it. and that's not a very good thing to happen. And then there was the thing about introducing the vaccine. So when you introduce a vaccine, it's through the injection and straight into the blood system. While measles, for example, you catch it through the air. So it comes in through your mouth, through your nose, lungs, which means it takes its time to get into the bloodstream. While with a vaccine, you're introducing it straight into the bloodstream. And a whole lot of other stuff that is in the vaccine that you don't get when measles is in the air, as it were. So there's a lot of debate over that as to how effective it actually is. And I think that more research is required. I think there are too many vaccines myself. I've noticed that when I was a kid, I had 5 vaccines, and I had a flu vaccine each year for a while whilst I was at school, and I had no ill effects. When someone had chickenpox, we all went round to catch it. And such like, and even mumps, you know, as a kid, we were encouraged to catch these because it would build up an immunity. But nowadays, I mean, I had a flu shot several years back. It was given free, thankfully, and it included the H1N1 bird flu virus anti vaccine included in it. Well, I was ill for 2 weeks after that. Now, people said, oh, well, you probably had flu or whatever coming in before it, and it just exacerbated it. Well, it shouldn't have. Let's put it that way. And I didn't. And it actually made me quite ill. And it was a reaction to the vaccine, not to having flu or H1N or anything like that. So I haven't had any vaccines since, and I intend not to have any more. And I haven't been ill for over 2 years now. But what I do is I look after myself. So I have a very good diet. I eat clean food, not processed foods. I eat meat and a fair amount of it. No sugar and very few carbs. And we eat healthily, and we eat as much organic as we can. So by looking after the body, your body looks after you. You feed it the right nutrients and it'll protect you. You don't need these chemicals to help the body fight off what's out there. That's my thinking. Have a look yourself, make up your own mind. And lastly, I'm going to talk very quickly on technology and writing. And I've noticed in recent times of education that a lot of it's going over to digital. So they're all getting computers and tablets and phones and such like, and it's all done digitally. So they type everything up and so on, and no one is using a paper and pen. And one thing I'm curious as to finding out is, how is the memory going? Because it has been shown that if you write things down with a pen and paper, or pencil and paper, that actually your memory of what you've written down is better than if you type it. It builds up the neural networks. And so having all this technology, I think, is not a bad thing in itself, so long as it is used right. And I think if you take away the pen and paper and go everything digital, I think our brains will suffer for it. And I think the memory will suffer for it. And I think there'll be various other things that will suffer for it. So I say, carry on writing. Get yourself a good ink pen. Not this biro stuff. Get a good ink pen or even a quill and dip it in the ink and write like the olden days of the 1800s. I think there's two major things that help there. One, it slows you down. You have to think about what you're doing. And two, it's a physical action that your brain uses to remember things. I think it all comes from the past, where people used to paint on cave walls. And I'm pretty sure that just the action of painting something on a cave wall would enhance the memory of what they're reconstructing. And the same is with writing. It's a communication device. And I think that It builds the neural networks, it strengthens the neural networks, it helps the remembrance of things you're writing down, and less likely to forget, and therefore aids the brain in doing things. So things like Alzheimer's and so on are less likely to occur. And that's about it for today. I'm going to leave it there. Climate change, vaccines, and writing. The next one I'm thinking of doing is on diet. So stay tuned for next Friday, when I shall be recording that and putting it out Friday night, Saturday morning. So this is The Englishman Speaks. Thank you for listening. Any questions, please do ask, if you can find me. I'll make it available for some feedback, so you can ask questions. So until next week, have a great week, have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself, take it easy, don't stress. Live life to the full. Bye for now.